Welcome into another episode. We have a super fun show for you today. Elliot Lane, that's me. That's this guy with two thumbs right here, sitting next to the Argentinian action figure down in Latin America, Javier Jase, Managing Director of Benzinga's editorial team for cannabis. What's up, my friend?
Doing great. Very, very excited about today's show. We have some good news to share. We have two amazing interviews, and we're going to finish up with what we promised last show, a product review.
I'm so pumped. What?
Should I tell people what I'm going to review today?
No. You got to stay till the end.
Stick around.
We're going to pump this between interviews as well. Guys, this is our first ever Benzinga product review happening today on the show after our two amazing interviews that I'm super excited for first. No offense to you, Javi. We have an amazing, probably one of the leading, if not the leader, in cannabis insurance. Once again, going to make it fun for us. So pumped to talk to Charles Pye from the Chief Marketing Officer of Canjin. And then after that, one of the OG cannabis edible companies, Kiva Confections. Their founder, Christy Palmer, is going to join us. Pumped about that. As always, we start with the brilliance, the beautiful mind of Javier Jase and his editorial team. What are you thinking about today?
So, you know, since we're talking about edibles, here's one piece of news that caught my eye this week. And it's news out of this company called Seed Edibles. They claim to have what could be the fastest acting weed edible in the world. We'll find out if this is true or not and how it compares to others with Christy. But they say they have an edible that acts in just 2 minutes.
Does it act in 2 minutes and then, you know, you come down in 3 minutes? I'm curious.
I would bet no. I mean, honestly, I would think it that shouldn't work that way. So I recently tried some edibles that I loved. I'm not going to say the brand because I'm going to say that for a review, but I tried some edibles that I loved. But the thing was, I took the edibles and then I thought, like, okay, I just took like half a gummy, so it's 5 milligrams. I shouldn't be high or anything. It was completely fine. 90 minutes later, I'm having dinner by myself, just sitting in a restaurant in Chicago. And I go like, what is going on? Why do I feel like this? And then I remembered I had taken this edible and it was extremely I try to walk into a jazz club and it's like, nah, man, this is too noisy.
I'm
planning for this. I loved it though. It was a great high. I watched TV, a bunch of episodes of something. I think it was Seinfeld.
You know what? You're welcome, audience. You get two product reviews today. You just don't know who he's reviewing right now. But we'll let you know in the future. But that being said, Javi, a couple plugs before we dive in, because I don't want to do this at the end. Real quick, benzinga.com/cannabis. If you don't just get your news here, I'm glad to hear that. But if you do just get your cannabis news here, you should tune in to Javier's articles. They're all super streamlined. You get, this is what happened. This is why it's important. This is what's next. Super easy to read, super streamlined news. Cannabis Daily, look up Benzinga's Cannabis Daily newsletter. Make sure you subscribe to that. There's also a podcast that goes with that. Regardless, every morning, start your day off right. And one last plug for me before we get into a few news items. If you're a business that needs help with SEO, driving traffic, Benzinga is doing it for a ton of companies. We're doing it for lawyers. We're doing it for Canadian cannabis companies. We're doing it for insurance companies. I mean, we're doing it for accountant firms. Any company that needs to improve their SEO profile, reach out sponsorship of Benzinga, Cannabis Hour of Benzinga, any email, it'll get you to the right place. Elliot Lane at Benzinga. Regardless, Javi, you keep wanting to say something.
No, I think everyone needs better SEO. Even if you think, you know, you're not focused on content, creating good content and good SEO for your website can do a lot for your brand, right? And this is just something that just isn't debatable. It's a fact, right? SEO will help your brand get more exposure. Of course, if you're in media, that is even more so, like, important. But in general, SEO is central to the success of any business nowadays.
Amen. With that being said, we got 2 minutes before we need to get to our interview. So run down through a few news items.
Let me do a lightning round. Let's do
lightning round.
So first up is a shout out to our good friend Joe Caltabiano, co-founder of Cresco Labs and founder of JSC Fund. He's got a very interesting story, very heartwarming story about how he survived childhood leukemia. Now he's donating $250,000 to help improve pediatric cancer treatment options. So again, shout out to Joe Caltabiano for his amazing work and great contribution. Another great article we posted on Benzinga via elplanteo.com is an analysis. Was there weed on Friends, the TV series? The answer is yes. Go to benzinga.com/cannabis after this show and check out the best cannabis scenes of
your articles have been incredible, by the way. I mean, that one, and then I think you're about to mention another one. I'm not going to steal your thunder, but this was so good. It's such a good article. Javier, tell them what I'm talking about.
Two other ones that I think Elliot really liked. One is we looked into how high the hobbits were, and you know, awesome. Peter Jackson and the Lord of the Rings actors told the whole story, the whole truth of how they did different scenes, how they got drunk for some scenes. They recorded scenes being a little bit drunk, very drunk, not drunk at all, high, very high. Very, very interesting stuff. Again, benzinga.com/cannabis. Check out the article by Franca Cuarnetti via El Planteo. One more was an article by Lola Sarturain, also of El Planteo, who interviewed Mila Jansen, however you want to call her, the queen of hash. Mila Jansen, hash queen. Go check that out. And one big actual hard news item is this $85 billion market cap tobacco giant, British American Tobacco, or BTI, in the New York Stock Exchange, just invested $37 million into a German cannabis company that is also supported by Snoop Dogg. We're, of course, talking about Sanity Group. If you don't know Sanity Group, they're one of the biggest operators, if not the biggest operator, in Germany. Very, very interesting play as well. And, of course, very interesting play on behalf of British American Tobacco as they continue to increase their exposure to the cannabis industry, something that might not surprise most people, but it's finally happening.
It's a great name, honestly, Sanity Group. This Hobbit news is why Benzinga is the best. Love you, El Guapo Tron 4000.
Yes.
The pronunciation right off the bat. All right, two things from me. One, Republican House leader from the state of Texas, Dade Phelan, talking about criminal justice reform. Color me shocked to read that story this morning. He is looking to reduce incarceration overall for the state of Texas, and he's going to do so. Part of the initiative is going to be reducing marijuana penalties, especially regarding possession for incarceration there. And the second one that I had was Twitter suspended cookies, a Forbes, Benzinga, Clio, tons of, it's just a nationally recognized retailer of cannabis, probably the most famous cannabis brand out there. And I mean, come on, like Twitter, the other things that we see on Twitter all the time, and then you ban cookies. Crazy. Regardless, just another obstacle that companies have to deal with is social media and their banning of their platforms.
That's why you come to Benzinga and El Planteo to advertise your cannabis brand.
Ooh, the plug! Oh, I love you, Javier. With that being said, we're going to get off our high horse and soapboxes and move into other soapboxes. Let's start with Charles V. Pyfrom, Chief Marketing Officer of CanGen. Welcome in. How are you, sir?
Hey, Elliot, good to see you, man. Doing great. Yeah, how are you? Too.
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just enjoying the day. It's Tuesday. It's a sunny day in North Carolina. Hoping everybody near the hurricane is not near the hurricane soon enough. But that being said, Charles, tell us about you. How'd you get into cannabis, man?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. I've been in the commercial insurance space for almost 15 years now, and working with CanGen was one of my early clients way back in the day. And the opportunity to see cannabis be entrepreneurial, innovative in the insurance world, which historically has kind of been more legacy, slow to react, I thought is a great competitive opportunity and competitive advantage. So I joined up with one of my clients, and that was 7 years ago. And we became the biggest, you know, baddest kind of cannabis focus, CBD, hemp, all that fun stuff, underwriting company dedicated solely to this space in the US and Canada, soon to be the EU. So we got lots of stuff on the horizon. It's been a fun ride for 7+ years, and we're just getting started. So
what are you insuring exactly, right? There's so many verticals to insurance. You could insure a property, business, people. You can provide life insurance, health insurance. So what is your bread and butter?
Yeah, Javier, that's a great question. What's great about Canjan and what we offer is that we're a one-stop solution for primarily P&C products. So property, casualty, products liability, crop, directors and officers, management liability, D&O, broader spectrum E&O, auto, motor truck, cargo. So essentially, we're going to use the overplay conundrum of we insure you from seed to sale. We do startups, we do MSOs, we do everyone in between. And for insurance agents and brokers who have a need in this space to find a cannabis-friendly insurance company, that's what we represent on an exclusive basis. And we've been doing it for almost 12 years now. So no one's seen more, knows more, and can help operators in the space make sure they cover their assets accordingly with a carrier that's not going to deny them claims because they don't do XYZ right. So we're transparent, we're above board, and it's what we're passionate about as a team of nearly 100 people strong.
Can you talk about the comparison or difference between hemp and marijuana insurance? Is there any difference between how you insure them? If so, what do you see there?
Yeah, great question, Elliot. A lot, because we're the only market that does really all three, we've bifurcated out what our product offering looks like. And we'll ask for more specific items related to cannabis versus what we do for CBD and hemp exposures, mostly because the product offering and the theft coverage needs that these guys in cannabis versus hemp and CBD have are different. I mean, let's be honest, right? Storefront dispensaries are a target for theft, robberies, and when opportunities of crime happen, that's a natural, logical target. They're in downtown areas, they're in metropolitan areas, they're in your backyard, depending on where you sit in the country. But we want to make sure we ensure those operations the same level to make sure our carriers are here to help support their growth. But also, we make sure that our carriers are involved and help ensure the claims process is smooth, easygoing, and they don't, unfortunately get denied overnight because, hey, you're a cannabis operation. We're transparent, we're above board, and that's what we do. On the hemp side, let's be honest, no one wakes up and steals a whole bunch of hemp crop overnight. It just doesn't happen, right? So from that angle, we're a lot more understanding of what the opportunities for crime are, what the opportunities for fire are, and really, all the perils that insurance policy should cover, we've tailored to those two unique differentiators between the cannabis and then the CBD and hemp stuff to where whoever's buying from us with their brokers know they're being, appropriately covered for their overall risk appetite and what their exposure needs are.
So, and quick follow-up there, Javi, real quick. As you expand internationally, I'm imagining, do you have a focus on both as well, or are you putting more of a focus on the cannabis marijuana side?
Depending on what the legislation is in the external countries that we're looking to expand into, we'll focus predominantly on what's kind of on the cutting edge of being legalized and approved from a business standpoint, so we can be there to respond and handle the needs of those buyers who are looking to actually get real insurance coverage for those operations, whether it's in the EU or in Canada, where we're the largest writer of risks up in that space, or in the US, where we have such a great footprint that we're really going after the operators that we want to make sure we're aligned with from a overall appetite need and what they need from their buyers as they're looking to either grow, expand, or do something different in the cannabis space.
I know there's a million challenges, in the cannabis space and the hemp space. We talk about them in every show here. But if you had to pick the biggest challenge for the insurer and the biggest challenge for the business looking for insurance, what would those be?
Yeah, no, great question, Javier. I appreciate that. If I'm a buyer of cannabis insurance, I think the biggest concern, if I was in the other folks' shoes, is am I buying from someone who understands the nuances of the pain points of my day-to-day operation and that we're insuring it accordingly all the time? And we see, tens of thousands of submissions a quarter, right? It's just a lot of stuff that comes through our pipeline. When we see people come over and say, I'm insured with XYZ Market, which is a household operator, top 10 in the country, we know, broad speaking, from an insurance standpoint, they're not covered. People like, that top 10 regional carriers or national carriers, they don't write cannabis. It's out there. That's why our company's been really successful in delivering our value prop to our broker partners and helping operators be concerned about what they have and knowing at the end of the day, when they're paying their hard-earned premium dollars, that they have a carrier who understands, one, they're in cannabis, two, the pain points they struggle with, and three, that we appropriately tailor our solutions to meet the needs, which are ever changing in this industry, to help make sure when they have a claim, there's coverage for it as long as everyone agrees by the policy terms and conditions. So that's something we really focus on. If I was on the buyer side, I would say, does my insurance company know I'm in cannabis and do they have expertise in cannabis? I can probably say that we do better than anyone else out there. Now, what's the hardest part in us attracting operators to come to us? Look, let's be honest. Cannabis is hard these days, and it's becoming more and more challenging, I think, for operators to thrive in a multitude of environments for either legislative or restrictive opportunities based on where they can zone, where they can buy land, where they can grow, where they get a license for, things of that nature. So for us, the hardest part is making sure that we align our product offering with what the ever-changing needs are of the buyer, to where when they say, I have a need, we can say, awesome, we have a great solution lined up for you, and let's make sure we take care of it with you and your broker.
When you, I mean, we have a pretty financially driven audience here. So, you know, thinking about how this may resonate with them, it's going to be in protecting the assets that they're investing in.
Yep.
You know, whether it's IP, whether it's, you know, brand licensing, whether it's actually vertically integrated assets, vehicles, whatever it may be. Is there a way for them to understand the quality of coverage that these companies have when they invest into a company? And obviously, investors probably don't normally think to look for that, but in cannabis, it sounds like they have to.
Yeah, they really should, Elliot, because at the end of the day, a lot of players who offer these smoke and mirrors coverage, the buyer's looking to get something done. And let's be honest, insurance is not in the top 50 things an operator needs to focus on day in, day out. But as they're going through operations where they're expanding, whether they're going through M&A opportunities where they're growing either organically or by acquisition, they really need to make sure that the buyer of who they're, you know, entering into a contract with or expanding into, that they cover their assets appropriately, to your point. If I'm buying another company, they have insurance with the market that says we don't cover insurance, that's something you have to address, and that's another cost to make sure that you are appropriately covering your assets to where you can grow. A great example would be our management liability division, CanGen Pro. We've developed from the ground up with our carrier partner a proprietary coverage form that meets the needs of today's cannabis operators. So when they go out to attract suitor X, buyer Y, board member Z, that they have an insurance policy that covers what the directors and officers are doing as fiduciaries of the company. That's really important because historically, a lot of our competition in the space have said, we'll take what's been done in the past, lots of cannabis-friendly language, and we hope it passes muster. Well, that's not what we're about at CanGen. We make sure we put coverage first, that we're here to help protect and grow your business and make sure that when the unforeseeable happens, that you're here to have an opportunity to say, I paid my premiums. I want to make sure my company's around to help make sure we grow accordingly. And that if I have an insurance transaction, my carrier understands what we're doing and that they're paying a claim accordingly.
Hmm. Are there regulations requiring insurance in this space?
You know,
I actually don't know the question, the answer to that.
No, it is a good question. And honestly, here's what's great and also challenging from an insurance standpoint. Each state requires certain things to say you're acquired a license. You want to apply for a lottery for a license. And depending on what the regulations have been put in place, some states may say you better have an insurance policy in place. Some may say you need to have a quote to say I can procure the necessary insurance requirements. Some will say I have an opportunity from an insurance broker who says they can get me the insurance. And luckily, we handle all three of those scenarios day in, day out across all legalized states in the U.S.
Awesome. So as we look ahead into 2022, into 2023, thoughts on where cannabis insurance is going to go? What a specific and weirdly broad question at the same time. But what's the next big thing that has to happen for us to look toward more regular insured industry opposed to where we are now?
No, that's great. Honestly, the mantra of cannabis looking ahead from where we sit and what we see day in, day out is bigger operators are getting bigger. M&A activity continues to happen at a regular pace. And the newest evolution of cannabis is this on-site consumption lounge topic. How do we ensure for that to where I, as an operator, want to have someone come and try my product, enjoy it, and have an opportunity just like we would a bar, a tavern, a nightclub, things like that, really ensure the operation itself and make sure it should, unfortunately, bad stuff happens sometimes and claims happen, nature of our business, that we develop a solution that is not only coverage focused, but also buyer conscious in terms of price, offerings, and overall risk appetite. So those are the two things that we're seeing. We're happy to announce that we've got another round of industry leading property capacity that regardless of how much you have at one single location, CanGen and its trading partners, we can entertain that across the board. And also expanding on what we have from our product roadmap looking ahead, there's some exciting things we'll be announcing here in the not too distant future that we'd love to chat with you guys about.
Awesome. Charles, thank you so much for joining us, my friend. A great update in terms of cannabis insurance, one that is important for investors to know and understand as they look at these companies as potential diversifying their portfolio opportunities. So thank you again for being here.
Absolutely. Great to chat with you guys again. Take care.
Thanks, Charles. Be well, man.
See you soon.
Awesome. I mean, honestly, it gets more and more imperative that something happened on the federal front. Because there's just not enough companies insuring the space either.
Indeed. Well, there's at least a very good one.
Exactly. With that being said, Javi, remember, everybody, stick around. After our interview with Christy, which we're very excited about shortly, Javier Hase is going to review something. And he almost teased it. He was teasing it there. I love it. Awesome. So, Javi, any thoughts here before we hit the next one?
Let's do it. Let's hit it. Let's keep it rolling.
Let's do it. Christy Palmer, founder of Kiva Confections, is joining us right now. Welcome, Christy. How are you?
Hi, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Stellar. Awesome to finally have Kiva on the show. You're one of the oldest and coolest edible companies in the world. Well, I mean, I could ask how you got into cannabis, but I'd rather hear about, you know, you. Tell us about the thought behind Kiva. When you started Kiva, why did you think, I need a cannabis edibles play here?
Yep. So my husband and I, he wasn't my husband then, but he is now. we started Kiva together. We were cannabis enthusiasts. I was definitely a cannabis enthusiast growing up and come from a family of other enthusiasts of cannabis. So it always kind of was an easy way for me to kind of enter the market. But there wasn't a cannabis edible that fit our lifestyles back then, right? This is 2000. We officially launched in 2010. So, the iPhone had just come out. Like, there wasn't anything like it.
Ouch.
Dispensary.
Remind me of my age again.
I know. It was 2007 when the iPhone came out. Isn't that insane? So there wasn't anything in the market that like fit with that kind of like place that we were as consumers in the world, right? Edibles were still saran wrapped, unlabeled, like, you know, scary looking. They had a bunch of like, you know, 3X or 10X, and you're like, I don't know what that means. And edibles last long, they hit hard. So, we basically set out to create an edible that, wasn't going to be scary, and that would be consistent and that people could rely on and that, people who had iPhones could buy and feel like a responsible consumer when they did so.
Well, mission accomplished. I'm going to say something, and this is not the review part of it, but I have two big favorites in the edibles world. One of them is Kiva El Camino, which a good friend of ours shared with me for the very first time when I was not interested in edibles. He gave me a 5 milligram, I think it was, El Camino. It was delicious and like any other edible I had tried. And it was one of the best experiences I've had. That one and one recommended directly by Justin Bieber. So it's like literally those two. I'm not going to say the other brand because I'm sure it's a direct competitor and it's a very good one as well. But those are my 2 cents, right? How do you accomplish edibles that taste so good, that feel right? I mean, what's the magic behind it? And again, how do you accomplish the removing of the taste without messing with the effects, the entourage effects of cannabis?
Great question. creating an edible that is pleasant, that tastes good, that delivers on the promise, on the label in terms of cannabis content. It really takes, I think, time, attention, and discipline. And we have those kinds of those principles ingrained in us from day one. You know, when we got started, there were no regulations for edibles. You could make them in your home kitchen, with which we did. There was no inspection, there was no license, there were no regulations. So you could make anything that you wanted. But what would make Kiva different was, you know, it had to be consistent. It had to taste good, right? This is an edible. You're going to eat it. You have a lot of options out there. And, you know, if it's food, it should be delicious. For an edible, especially something that you're going to put your trust into, right? Like an edible has the power to change your headspace for quite a long time. And so that's a pretty strong relationship or a trusting relationship that needs to exist between the product and the consumer if you're going to get them to come back a second time, right? So those foundational elements were key from the beginning. And then to this day, it is the kind of the secret sauce, I guess, is creating a product that always tastes good. So, you know, sometimes a flavor that's trendy, you know, pomegranate might not work well with dark chocolate. So yeah, that's trendy and everybody loves pomegranate, dark chocolate, or that's, you know, that's what seems to be growing quickly, for example. But if it doesn't taste good, then it's not going to pass. It's not going to be released. Right. And that's a principle that we have is it's got to be awesome. It's got to taste amazing. And you should have like a physical response when you have a Kiva product, right? It should make you like do a little dance or like a little wiggle because it's so good. Not just like, you know, oh, that was good, or ooh, I gotta choke that one down. So those are just that discipline and that attention to detail.
Whenever we're talking about new age cannabis products, especially cannabis 2.0 products, we think about what Javier was mentioning earlier with the edibles story in the onset and how fast it comes on. And, I'm not always convinced that it needs to be as quick as humanly possible, but I'd love to hear from you, the person that knows and has this perspective, how important that is for you moving forward in terms of how quick that onset is.
Yep. I think the onset technology, let's see, actually, I think the delay onset in your typical edible experience is probably one of the greatest downsides to consuming an edible. When you smoke or vape, you get that effect instantly, right? And or almost instantly, right? Couple minutes. Yeah. And you can kind of potentially titrate a little bit if you'd like. You can up the dose. You certainly can't take it down once you're there, but you can wait 45 minutes to an hour and that, you know, that will gently decrease and you'll be, you know, back to baseline. So edibles, that's a huge struggle for edibles. It's also great for some folks. Once you figure out how long it takes an hour. Okay, no problem. Just like you're taking Tylenol or something, like we're used to a delayed onset with some types of products. So it's consistent in its delay typically, but that's an area for exciting innovation for the industry, for Kiva is finding fast onset technology. But I will underscore that works, right? Because in Javier's story, it didn't really work. And so then an hour and a half later, you're like, well, shit, I wasn't expecting to be like this in this setting. And so it can kind of sneak up on you. And those are not the experiences that are going to win over the consumer, right? Those are the experiences that are going to make people brush cannabis aside and go, nope, not for me. You know, the industry's not where it needs to be. The product quality is not where it needs to be. And you're going to push people out of the market.
I have two questions. One is, so why haven't you experimented with some of these fast onset technologies so far?
Yeah, so we have been experimenting for sure. In fact, we launched our fast acting turkey gravy.
I do remember.
Yeah, almost 3 years ago. And so we put fast acting technology into the turkey gravy as an experiment within the market to see, okay, you know, what are people going to say when they come back to us? And we didn't get the result that we were looking for. In the meantime, we have been doing just extensive research to find technology that we think works. We test internally with our team and say, okay, you know, this is supposed to be 10 minutes. Was it 10 minutes for you or was it longer? So we have definitely been experimenting and we're close. I hope we're close. We are close. We're making progress on some fast acting technology that we feel like we can put our brand name behind and that delivers on the promise that we want to make.
How do I get that job tasting the edible? No, for real, here's an actual question. So about a month ago, I spoke with a St. John musician, rapper, super interesting guy, extremely interesting. And he had recently partnered with Kiva to launch a line, I think it was Lost Farm Edibles, right? And I asked him, like, why Kiva? There's a million brands out there. And he goes, it's my favorite edible brand, unquestionably. That is it. Like, that is a actual quote. And he said, I started my cannabis journey with Kiva Edibles, and fortunately, we forged a partnership. It does not always happen that in your first attempt, right, you end up partnering with the brand you wanted. You met many celebrities, he said, end up partnering with the brands who make an offer. How do you connect with St. John? How does that come to be? Why do you want to collaborate with him? And what benefit does it bring to you?
Yeah. I think collaborations are, they can be successful if it's authentic. And so finding someone who is already a fan of your product, who is jazzed about doing a collaboration is pretty key. Because you don't want that to come through as, you know, not authentic, right? Your consumers are going to go, oh, gosh, here's another celebrity collab. Like, it can fall flat. And that's the exact opposite effect that you want with a collaboration. So, so collabs are super fun for Kiva. We've been exploring those more recently. We have the innovation chops on the team, the marketing experience and personnel on the team to really make those types of collaborations successful. And they energize everybody, right? Like a retailer loves it. The team internally loves it. Like, we love talking about it. So it's just a great, it keeps things fun. It's great for the company. It's great for the consumer. Those have been super awesome. And St. John is.
It's really awesome. Authentic. Honestly, like, I don't know if I should say this on or off record. Let's say it off record. He actually showed me like a drawer. He was like, dude, check this out. It's just filled with all kinds of edibles. It's like, dude, this is my life. This is how I start my day, how I go through my day, how I end my day. He was really loving them.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
An it's actual cool. testimony, like real testimonial here.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. And the packaging came out like so cool with that product. I went onto the Kiva Direct website. I bought like 10 of them to keep because I'm like, these are really cool. And they're so engaging. And it's like a little journey that you go through when you go like, what it makes you want to learn more. You see this really interesting artwork and these graphics on the package. And you're like, what's going through this person's head? And it just is, it leads you, to learn more, which is really cool.
You know, I'll kind of wrap up with this. I think edibles have such a unique place in the cannabis space as an entrant into consumption for a ton of people. Also beverages to an extent as well. But, you know, for me, it wasn't my first experience, but certainly it's a comfortable one. You know, and kind of looking at one of our comments in the chat here, big fan of their terpene profile plus cannabinoid formulations of suggested effects, social, bliss, sleep, et cetera. How important is that to getting people into cannabis? But is that where edibles, is that the marketing focus right now? Or is there something beyond that in CPG land for edibles that we can look for as we develop this industry? It's a pretty broad question there.
But it's a good one because it brings up a couple things, like in particular, demographics and what consumers are looking for. So terpenes, effects, pairings with flavors, that's what Camino is all about, right? And Camino is, Camino promises that level of control in one's experience, which is great for a newbie or right, your mother-in-law or whoever it is that is like, you know, they're looking to get into cannabis or they want a very normalized experience, consistent experience. Lost Farm, on the other hand, yes, it's consistent, but it uses like the true nature of the plant to with amazing flavors to attract the consumer. So different extraction type, you get the flavor and the bouquet of the cannabis plant in that particular strain with the live resin. And so it's just a completely different experience. So yeah, I think there's different strokes for different folks. And we're like just always trying to innovate and create a new product for a new consumer or for consumers that are graduating, right? You can start with a Camino, but you kind of get your moves down, you get comfortable, that feels good. Maybe Lost Farm is for you next as you kind of continue your cannabis journey.
Love that. Christy, what's next for Kiva? Like, what can we expect throughout the rest of the year, moving into next year? Give us a little sense of that as we wrap up here.
Yeah. We, lots of fun stuff. We are, you know, this is really hard time in cannabis. We're September 2022, like, whew, this is a month and a quarter for the books. But I think that's always the same with cannabis, right? You can look back and go, well, that was a crazy time. I've never been like, this is a boring time in cannabis. So, it just depends on what the challenge du jour is. But yeah, I think innovation always. You mentioned beverage. Your previous guests mentioned consumption lounge. Like there's some fun new channels for cannabis consumption that we haven't even like scratched the surface on. Extraction types are constantly like, I feel like I hear a new one every time and I'm like, I don't explain how you extract that again. Like there's so much like technology to go into extractions. All of that can be incorporated into product development at Kiva. And then out of state expansion. That is the super hot area for growth. California is a big state, but it has its hurdles and its setbacks. And so brands are looking to grow by entering into other markets. And that's a beast of an undertaking as you have to go state by state. So yeah, tons of exciting things coming up for us this year and into the future.
Thank you so much, Christy. Wonderful conversation. Really appreciate you being here. Founder of Kiva Confections. We will definitely do this again. Please keep us updated on all of your news, but it was really nice chatting with you.
You too, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Christy. All right, y'all. Awesome update on insurance. Awesome kind of deep dive into cannabis edibles and what Kiva's been doing to keep them at the forefront. Great conversations today. With that being said, hit the like, subscribe. Ode to Money Mitch on multiple levels today. Two of them, hit the like and subscribe. He does a lot to work for this YouTube audience. Please, let's make sure to share this with your friends. Secondly, he was the first one to suggest a product review.
Yes, sir.
I said no. I said, that's not what we do here.
It is not.
And yet here we are about to do one. So owe to Money Mitch on that idea initially. We will give the credit to him where credit is due. But Javier Jase, I turn it over to you. What are you reviewing today?
So today I'm going to do a review. I think this was the most requested review so far, right? Christy was just talking about extracts. I also think about concentrates a lot, right? You might often hear people talk about dabs. What are dabs? Dabs come in different forms, but overall it's a type of concentrate or extraction. So it's a concentrated version of cannabis that looks a little bit like a diamond or a little paste or something like that, right? Traditionally, concentrates or dabs were consumed in a sort of bong. This is a bong, a regular bong, but something that looked like this, where you would put a little little bit of this concentrate or extract, that's why it's called a dab, because a little dab will do you. You would put a little bit of the concentrate or extract in the device, but then you would have to heat it up with a blowtorch, because these concentrates and extracts require very high temperatures to really unlock and unleash their potential. Then we had one company called Puffco that came along and came out with a few devices that really created a name for Puffco. One of the most popular devices they had was the Puffco Peak. This is the Puffco Peak Pro. Basically, what this did was eliminate the need for the huge bong, the blowtorch, whatever. You would put in some concentrate in here, some water in here, just puff. It's electronic. It works great. The thing is, when you have to travel, this is, while portable, it is still not as comfortable. And it's something that maybe you don't feel very comfortable, you know, just taking out anywhere, right? Like on the beach or whatever. It's not as discreet. So Puffco now came out with a new device called the Puffco Proxy. I'm going to show you. And this is very portable, very, very cool. The presentation, as you can see, is awesome.
They made that a pipe?
A pipe for concentrates, right? You can see it. The glass is fabulous. The way this works is you put a little bit of concentrate or extract, a dab, again, remember, start with low doses, understand what is your tolerance, what is your proper dose. You put a little bit of concentrate in here, you close it, you double tap the only button it has here, you wait till it's heated up, and you consume it.
And then you look like a G.
Like one of these Lord of the Rings guys, or what? Who was the one who had the crazy pipe, Frodo?
No, you're thinking Merry and Pippin, and then Gandalf had. They all had pipes.
Gandalf pipe. That's the one.
They all had pipes. Gandalf blew the smoky ship through the ring that Bilbo blew. Believe me, I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd. This is amazing.
A lot of people really love the old style of the torch thing, the blowtorch thing, because you get more smoke or whatever. And a lot of the smaller devices, you had to choose between flavor and a good cloud. What I love about this specific product, the Puffco Proxy, is that it gives you a good balance. You can select different temperatures, and depending on the temperature, if it's lower, you get more of a taste and less of a big consistent cloud, and vice versa. But you can achieve a good balance, and you can also use it. You can take out this little part here and use it with other accessories. Like, for instance, this is the bubbler, which allows for bigger clouds with water. So to me, first review, I'm going to start with an A. This is an amazing product, highly recommended. Props to Puffco, props to their designers and engineers. Fantastic product if you like concentrates, if you like dabs, if you're looking for a good experience with taste, a good high, clean high, quick effect and quick onset, this might be the device for you.
I mean, it's also the best design I've seen of a pipe. That's friggin' incredible. Awesome job, Javier. First review, that was fantastic.
Did you like it?
I really did. Honestly, you are gonna make me like an avid consumer here. I'm pumped for it. That being said, we're only going to do these here.
By legals, is it?
Yeah. Exactly. Get it run by legal. We're only going to do these here on YouTube. Obviously we're going to have on our podcasts as always. If you want to listen to these on podcasts, you can find them anywhere, Apple, Spotify, any major hosting platform. These will only be here because this is a horrible radio segment because we are showing you what's happening. So, tune in here for product reviews. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 Eastern time for our executive interviews. Thank you so much for participating. El Guapo Tron 4000. The Puffco Cupsy is hilarious. Javier agrees. Money Mitch, thanks everybody. Crypto Taurus, thank you for tuning in. We will be back Thursday at 4 Eastern time right here on Benzinga's YouTube. Until then, have a fabulous rest of your day.
Yes. Peace. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.